stumble from my good warm bed. Monday morning, oh my head, gotta go and do it all again. Wake up, baby, rise and shine. It's coffee, eggs, and bacon time. Walk your working man out to the car. The boss is in his usual mood. Not one thing does he approve. Sometimes you can't keep him satisfied. Up and down the assembly line, worried faces much like mine, showing the wear and tear in their eyes. They're making it hard on the working man, trying to make a living any way he can. Making ends meet on the installment plan, his money goes right through his hand. Heaven help him if you think you can. They're making it hard. Policeman in his prime sits behind his billboard sign, aims his radar gun right straight at me. A letter from the IRS said, boy, your taxes are a mess. Is this the way the good life's supposed to be? From my good warm bed, Monday morning, oh my head, gotta go and do it all again. Too much room in the Frigidaire, the kids all need new shoes to wear, payments laid on my old truck again.
You got it there. You got it right, man. It's hard on the working man, especially when you got to roll out when it's cold. Yeah, it was pretty cold this morning, but we got some cold rain back here. No snow, so that's good. Yeah. Hey, this is Terrible Tommy in the bunker right here in North Central Indiana. Right next to Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern and Steakhouse and Filling Station. That's right next to the Weapons of Mass Destruction Used Equipment Yard. When springtime comes and it warms up, you can come on down here, kick the tank tracks and stuff like that, and buy yourself a weapon of mass destruction, put it on your 18-wheeler, take it back home, and get ready. Yeah, right. Get ready to follow General Trump. Just kidding. The date is January the 8th, 2016. I got to remember to do that. Do you ever have that problem when it changes years and you forget to, and you put it on your checks, put on all your checks the last year? takes me about a week to get used to the new year when I write down something on a receipt or a check. We're at P.O. Box 401 still yet. Yeah, that's true. That's where you send your donations for the radio show. Quite a few of you have done it already. How about that? Then go up to resist.com and also go to our telephone setup. That's 559-670-1473. You can leave a message on there if you'd like for me. And you can go to 641-715-3800 too. So there's two lines up there. So if you can't get through on one because of the massive traffic, you go to the other. Well, I was listening to Breitbart this morning. It's a right-wing conservative outfit. Seems to be pretty well funded. They got two or three guys on there that are Harvard graduates calling themselves conservative. But they had a recording of the deceased Breitbart who started all that. And they said people call in about racism. And he wanted everybody to know, absolutely, no racism here. You can't be a racist and call in here and all that kind of stuff. Of course, he's dead now, but these guys are carrying on the same thing. So there's almost no place you can call in of any power to talk about race. I challenge you. There's all these right-wingers around. They talk about Hillary, and they talk about Trump, and they talk about atomic bombs, and they talk about the Republican Party and the Democrat Party, but call in and just try to open your mouth and say, I think we ought to really be concerned about the white race. Click, you're gone. Try it. I've had a lot of my good buddies try that. Those screeners will knock you out. I noticed that they never get any racial calls on Breitbart. That's because they're filtering them all out. They're not going to let anybody talk about race. And this morning they had on that great black hope that's running for president. The brain doctor without a brain. If I only had a brain, yeah. I can't even listen to that guy because if he was a white guy and talked as dumb as this black guy talks, he never got to first base. He'd never even think of running for president. But they put this guy on. He's a total clown. But he's black, and he can put two words together, and he was a brain surgeon, man. So we're going to listen to him. He'll straighten this government out real fast. You know, I always like to ask these guys, you know, they're conservative. They're all yapping about being conservative, but do you know anything conservative about them? I noticed here I've got a 1947 dictionary here. Let's see what it says about conservative. It says, disposed to preserve existing conditions, institutions, and so on. Cautious or moderate, a conservative estimate. Having the power or tendency to conserve preservative. Noting or pertaining to a political party whose characteristic principle is opposition to change in the institutions of a country, or a person of conservative principles. Well, I don't see any of that going on now. Do you? This Republican Party would be judged a total liberal, probably Marxist party. Back in the day, I mean, what have they conserved? Even back when they had the civil rights silliness, were they conserving anything? No, they were giving it up, giving up white freedom every step of the way. So when you hear somebody, especially a politician, say he's conservative, say, you're a liar. I could look at your track record and see the bills that you've put before Congress or the state senate or whatever, that you're not conservative. So what are you? I mean, you could say the same thing to a lot of the liberals. Liberal? What's liberal about you? If you want to take all the guns away from the people that they could defend themselves from the government, that's what it was all about in the first place, how could you be liberal? Anyhow, that's we're being lied to every damn step of the way. You know it. I know it. And let's just tell them they're liars. So call in on this radio show so you get a chance and just say, hey, you're conservative, right? Yeah. Are you trying to conserve white culture or white European culture or anything like that? Listen to the gobbledygook they're going to give you. They'll give you a gobbledygook and try to explain it, but it'll be wrong, and they'll be wrong, and they are liars. Just like when they talk about your rights or even your God-given rights. Show me one. Show it in action. Explain to me, what is this right? Inalienable right means it can't take it away from you. Well, anybody could take anything away from you. You could walk down a sidewalk today in Chicago and some lowly black teenager can take your liberty away. Bam! You're dead. Your life's the most important thing you've got. And if you don't have a right to your life, well, you don't have any right at all. But you see, we've been buying this crap forever. We're raised with it. Ever since the beginning of this country. And even part of the British setup was based on this right, inalienable right situation. Yeah. So we've been lied to so long, we wouldn't know what to do if we weren't lied to. I'd rather deal with a flat-out dictator that didn't believe in rights. At least you'd know where you stood. And if he got too oppressive, you'd just blow him away, you know. But in this country, and we got, you know, had to do, too, with the Christian thing, which none of that's really in the Bible. You'd have rights in the biblical times. You lived under a king or whatever, and whatever he said went, you know. No rights. So they, even this mythical Jesus didn't insist on it, because he knew if he had been, he would have known it doesn't mean anything. Might is right, whether you like it or not. And man fights for territorial imperative, as Robert Audrey said. If you haven't read Audrey's books, you should. Man, first of all, doesn't fight for the women. He fights for the territory first. And then when he gets the breeding ground, he gets the women. You see that all over today, all these ugly guys that are big capitalists, big ugly Jews and ugly Christians and so forth. They get all the money and then they get all the women they want. The hottest women in town. The same guy, if he's driving a garbage truck, looked the same way, maybe even talked the same way, you bet he's not going to get the hot broads. Yeah. See, the trouble is, in this country, we're living under a myth. It's not real. Worshipping mythological spooks in the sky and telling each other we got rights. And I tell you, it never can go right. It never can end well. The only way it ends well is for individuals to live their own lives and strike out on their own, and somebody gives them crap, hit them upside the head. Yeah, that's your right. Nature gives you a right. It's really not a right. Nature gives you the possibility. Nature gives you the muscle, the blood, and the brain. And if you're not busy cranking out kids that are genius, super smart, and training them and educating them away from all the mythology and bullshit, you're just going to be surrounded by morons like we are today. Like yesterday when I was talking about showing the Klan or playing the Klan, putting literature out on people's lawns. The one thing that's good about that is you see the shape of the white race. Every white person they go to, they say, oh, I don't believe in that racism. These people are crazy. They should be arrested. They should be thrown in jail. Well, so we're all the same. We're all the same, man. We're all the same. Now, when a guy could look you in the eye or a woman look you in the eye and say you're the same as one of these ugly-ass Negroes or mestizos, that you're the same, you know they're lost. They're completely lost. There's no retrieving them. You can't even send them to camp. They're gone. They're gone. And yet, the racial struggle has continued to say, we're going to save the white race. Would you want to save those people? I don't. They're gone. You're not going to save them. You're not going to re-educate them. The only way they may be re-educated is Mother Nature. If they build their house too close to the river or the ocean and tsunami gets them. I told you not to build your goddamn house down there, Clyde. Well, yeah, but I got that land pretty cheap and built that house pretty cheap. But there it goes, Clyde, down the river. There goes your house. There goes your kids. There goes your wife. Because you're dumb. You don't listen to the lessons of Mother Nature. Study Mother Nature. Don't study the goddamn devil's book, the Bible. That's the way you'll save your ass. But we got to save the white race one person at a time. You might be able to save one or two that you know, but beyond that, forget it. It'll be another couple of generations if possibly we might, the white race might be able to pull it out, but it's not going to be pulled out by large numbers. It's going to be pulled out by fanatical, ruthless, independent people who don't waste their lives on trying to save the idiots. I spent my 30, 40 years of my life thinking I was doing a good thing, trying to preach to the white race and save the white race. I might as well have went out and thrown my billfold in the river. It was a waste of time. Except to learn how feeble the race is and how ignorant the race is, and they don't, and most of them don't want to get any smarter. It's easier for them to go down the path of, well, I wouldn't have anything like a devil with the races. Those niggers, they're just like us. They got blood running in their veins. They're just chocolate white people. Oh, okay. Well, I read Might is Right, and I finally came, like the joke used to say, I got goosed and I walked straight. Okay, there you go. Well, let's get back into our pessimist guide to history. Yeah, because you can learn a lot from the pessimist guide to history. You better believe it. From 1781 to 1782, there was an influenza epidemic, a worldwide epidemic. That's not the one of 1917. This is the one of 1781 and 2. The influenza, apparently it began in the autumn in China, and during the following months spread to India, Europe, and North America. At the height of the epidemic in Russia, some 30,000 were stricken daily. Daily! And in Rome, two-thirds of the population came down with the disease. No figures ever available for the number of deaths caused by the epidemic. Well, it must have been hundreds of thousands, maybe a million. Now, in 1782, gale wrecks Barbados. Here we go back to the Caribbean. You really want to retire in the Caribbean with all those black people down there? You know, Caribbean used to be full of Asiatic-type Mongols. You didn't know that? Well, the slave trade brought all those blacks in there, and they bred like bunnies, and most of the Indian element are gone.
Yeah.
A powerful storm packing high winds ravaged the Caribbean islands of Barbados, killing thousands on the island itself and sinking many ships off its coast. This is the second hurricane in 2 years to wipe them out, but they never learn. Look at all these people out in Oklahoma and Missouri and all that stuff where the tornadoes come. Do you think they prepare for it? Not one in 100 prepare for it. Do you think they build a basement underneath their mobile home? Or build a like a bomb shelter or cyclone cellar like they used to have out on the prairie in the old days? Hell no. They just sit there and wait, and here comes a tornado, and there goes their... The mobile homes are the worst. And away they go. If you're living in a mobile home, any place where there might be a tornado, if you don't have an underground place to crawl into and hide, you're out of your mind. But that's the way it is when you're dealing with stupidity. They'd rather go to church and pray to Jesus than dig a hole in the ground. So anyhow, I don't think I'd want to move down to the Caribbean. I'm sure there's places that are nice. I'm sure that there's some nice weather down there. But it only takes one of these storms to get you. In 1783, an earthquake hits Italy. Boy, it seems like this earthquake hit Italy about once every 2 or 3 years. A lot of volcanic activity under Italy. For 8 years, Italy experienced a series of major earthquakes. But the worst one shook southern Italy on February 4th and 5th of 1783. The earthquake leveled the city of Calabria and more than 180 towns in the area around it. Huge figures opened up the earth, fissures opened up the earth, some of them 225 feet deep and 150 foot wide. Wow. Many people and livestock were swallowed up by these great chasms, from which powerful geysers of boiling water soon began spewing. Incredibly, the water lifted out some of those trapped in the fissures. A few of them still survive. Though badly burned, some of these lucky souls actually survived the quake. Elsewhere, rivers and streams and dams dammed up with debris created a wave of mud 70 yards wide and 15 feet deep that flooded the town of Cilia. Fires broke out in the ruined cities, towns, and aftershocks plagued the area. The earthquake killed some 30,000 outright, while 20,000 to 30,000 others died as a result of the aftershocks and the famine that followed. This is the same part of the Mediterranean that's been crumbling and quaking since the dawn of history. I'm going to tell you, boys and girls, these quakes are coming here, too. We're way overdue for big quakes. We got a lot of volcanic activity around the coast and even inland. We got volcanoes under the ground here in the Midwest. And when Mother Nature gets pissed off at you for being such sinners against nature, she's going to hit you with an earthquake. And people will say, my God, that's horrible. This must have never happened before. This is the first time this has happened. No, it's happened hundreds of times. 1783, Iceland volcanic eruptions. Well, Iceland's sitting all over underneath Iceland. In fact, you know, they power a lot of their machinery and so forth over there, their factories, with that steam coming out of the ground, which is a cool deal. But once in a while, it goes pow. In late May, an eerie, bluish haze appeared over the Icelandic volcano Mount Skaptar, and a series of tremors that began on June 1st sent many families into the tents for fear their stone houses would collapse. Then on the morning of June 8th, the Lagagigur fissure, a 15-mile-long rip in the Earth's crust, tore open, and for 2 months spewed forth lava at a prodigious rate. One river in Iceland disappeared entirely as a new river of liquid rock steaming with poisonous gases eventually filled and overflowed the 600-foot-deep reverbed, creating a 15-mile-wide delta in the coastal lowlands. On July 29th, a second eruption replaced yet another river. Overall, some 3 cubic miles of lava obliterated rivers, villages, and farms over a 200-square-mile area, the largest lava flow in recorded history. Floods from melted glaciers and displaced rivers only worsened the damage. Some 9,000 people were killed and 20 villages were destroyed by the lava flows. Ash obliterated the summer sun, and a similar noxious blue cloud spread over Iceland, eventually reaching as far as North Africa. Livestock began to sicken. The hides rotted from their bodies. Soon humans developed boils and deformities on their bodies. Their hair began to fall out, their eyes stung, and their gums swelled. In the infamous haze famine that followed, trees, grass, crops, and wildlife withered and died, while fish disappeared from the poisoned coastal waters. As starvation set in, horses were seen eating each other, and people resorting to chewing on rope, on raw hides of animals for nourishment. Now even the horses are practicing cannibalism. Well, there you go. That's enough for now. Just giving you the warning, Mother Nature's going to get you one of these days. You never know. It's like Candid Cameron, when you least expect it. Pow! You're on Mother Nature's camera. So don't worry too much about a lot of this other human-caused stuff. Just, if you're going to fear a god, fear Mother Nature. Yes, she'll put the fear of her in you. She's one tough bitch. Well, let's read from the good book a while here. Might is right. How is it that men of light and leading hardly ever call in question the manufactured moral codes under which our once vigorous northern race is slowly and surely eating out its heart in peaceful inaction and laborious dry rot? Standard moral principles are arbitrarily assumed by their orthodox apologists to be fixed and unalterable quantity, and to doubt the divine righteousness of these principles is treason and sacrilegion. Well, that's what they say about us. They've got us pegged. When the greatest thinkers of a race are incapable or afraid to perform their manifest and logical function, it is scarcely to be wondered that the average citizens are also somewhat unwilling to risk life, fortune, and sacred honor for the overthrow of popularized right and wrong concepts that they know from bitter per-social experience are unworkable falsities. Although the average man feels in his heart that nearly all political and religious conventionalisms are dynamic deceits, yet how cautiously avoids any open display of antagonism thereto. You know, like if I say to somebody, I'm a pre-thinker, they say, what do you mean? Well, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in spooks in the sky. They may like you, but they look at you weird. Or they may not like you and want to beat your head in. He has not courage of his opinions. He is afraid to say openly what he thinks secretly. Boy, that's true, isn't it? You're going to say openly you believe in the white race? You want to do something for it? And you want a white country? And you want a white town? And you want a white block? You want a white school? In other words, he is living in a state of subjectiveness, of vassalage, which is like a slave. He allows his brain to be dominated and held in bondage by the brain of another, just like on TV, radio, and everything else. Like that one cartoon I saw one time, I never will forget it. Used to have a cartoon guy, his name was Ziggy, and this guy comes to his front door with a tablet, and he evidently asked him, I forget now what he said, but he said, he wanted his opinion about something. And Ziggy said, I have no opinion. My television is broken. Let's see, I need to turn this up a little bit. I need to turn it up a little bit. Whoa. Okay. From his infancy, he has been deliberately subjected to a continuous external pressure, especially designed to coerce his understanding into the strict accord with prearranged views of moral, political, and religious duty. He has not been permitted one moment of real mental liberty. He imbibed fraudulent conventionalisms with his mother's milk. He listens to the most hideous lies being glorified in his presence as sublime truths. He hears falsehoods sung in swelling chorus. He hears them sounded on bugles of silver and brass. He hears them intoned by congregations of the faithful amid peals of sacred music and the solemn roll of chanted prayer. Thus his mind is sterilized by the authority before it has had a chance to mature. Well, that was the way with me when I was a kid. I was forced to go to church. There wasn't any way out. You know, I wanted to go out in the woods and hunt and with my dog and things like that and go swim in the lake. But my parents forced me to go to church. And interestingly enough, they were quite hypocritical about things, too. You know, they went to a church where they said, no drinking, but my stepfather drank all the time. He smoked, and so did my mother. But yet, they would go to church, and the church says not to, so much for that. But you must go to church, Tommy. Get in the car, or I'll slap you upside the head. Thus, youth is mentally castrated, that its natural vitality may be afterwards used up in the yoke of custom, which is the yoke of slavery. In the nursery, at school, at the college, at the plastic brain pulp is deliberately forced into an arranged mold. Everything that a corrupt civilization can do is done to compress the growing intellect into unnatural channels. Well, that's what public education is all about. That's what public colleges are all about. To compress their young brains into something to serve the state, serve the system, or serve the ruling class. And if you don't get some kind of a degree from a university, you don't make as much money and all that kind of stuff. Thus, the great mass of men who inhabit the world of today have no initiative, no originality, or independence of thought, but are mere subjective individualities who have never had the slightest voice in fashioning the ideals that they formerly revered. Although the average man has taken no part in manufacturing moral codes and statute laws, yet how he obeys them with dogmatic like submissiveness. He is trained to obedience like an oxen are broken to the yoke of their masters. He is born thrall, habituated through childhood to be governed by others. That's why a lot of some of their strongest and actually more intelligent people are in prison. Now, I know there's a lot of people who commit crimes in prison, but a lot of people in prison should be probably leading the country. And the people who are leading the country should be in prison. Chinese civilization deliberately distorts its children's feet in the old days by swathing them in bandages of silk and hoop iron. Christian civilizations crush and cramp the minds of its youth by means of false philosophies, artificial moral codes, and ironclad political creeds. Deleterious sub-theories of good and evil are systematically injected into our natural literatures, and gradually, without serious obstruction, they crystallize themselves into cast-iron formulas. Infallible constitutions, will-o'-the-wisp evangels, and other deadly epidemics. That's one of the reasons why our insane asylums and mental hospitals are always full. When we had them, now we don't have them. They're just people walking around in the street and sleeping in the street. Caused by all this nonsense of modern so-called civilization. Modern leaders of thought are almost wholly wanting in originality and courage. Their wisdom is foolishness. Their remedy is poison. They idiotically claim that they guide the destinies of nations, whereas in reality they are but flotsam and scum froth that glides smoothly down the dark stream of decadence. Quote, thus all people of the earth are helpless, seeing those that lead are blind, unquote. You see that with the Congress of the United States. You got 400 or 500 guys up there. They don't know shit or shinola. Oh, they think they do. Oh, just ask them. But you can even hear them talking and tell they're stupid because they're not logical. Most of their decisions dwell on being illogical. Laws should be logical, not illogical. But if they come up with logical laws, they're afraid they won't get voted in again, and they probably wouldn't because of the idiots that vote. That's why voting is bullshit. And if you're still voting, it's nonsense. It's nonsense. Mankind is a weary of its sham prophets, its demagogues and its statesmen. It crieth forth for kings and heroes. It demands a nobility that cannot be hired with money, like slaves or beasts of burden. The world awaits the coming of mighty men of valor, great destroyers, destroyers of all that is vile, angels of death. We are sick into nausea of the good Lord Jesus, terror-stricken under the executive of priest, mob, or proconsul. We're tired of the death of equality. Gods are at a discount. Devils are in demand. He who would rule the coming age must be hard, cruel, and deliberately interpreted. For softness assails not successfully the idols of the multitude. Those idols must be smashed into fragments, burned into ashes, and that cannot be done by the gospel of love. The living forces of evil are to be found in the living ideals of today. That's why I like this book I got there, the Bible, the Devil's Book, which really it is. It's turned everything upside down, and good is bad, and bad is good. The commandments and the laws and moral codes that we are called upon to reverence and obey are themselves the insidious engineering of decadence. It is the moral principles and manufactured beggars. It is golden rules that glorify meekness. It is statute laws that make spaniels of men. You know, like nowadays, they want to cut out bulliness in the schools. No, bulliness is okay. You survive bulliness. I survive bulliness. I got my ass kicked several times at school, and it never affected me. I mean, I just learned to be tough or get out of the way. A man may keep every one of the Ten Commandments and yet remain a fool all the days of his life. He may obey every written law of the land and yet be a caitiff and a slave. He may love Jesus, delight in the golden rule, and yet continue to the hour of his death a failure and dependent. Truly, the way to hell is by fulfilling the commandments of God. If the all-conquering race to which we belong is not to irretrievably to dwindle into multitudinous nothingness, like the inferior herds it has outdistanced or enslaved, then it is essential that the Semitic spider webs, so astutely woven for ages into the brains of our chiefs, be remorselessly torn out by the very roots, even though the tearing out process be both painful and bloody. Well, that's what led me to say, after studying this Jewish thing for a long, long time, I don't need any other reason to be upset with the Jewish conspiracy other than the fact that they created Christianity. That was the great sin of the Jews. They started Christianity, and Christianity has destroyed the white race. The idea of hell is in some respects a truthful conception, suggestive of actual fact. If we terrestrialize the location, there's nothing inharmonious about it. Many a race, many a tribe, and many a mighty empire has gone down into grimly realistic Sheol. Is it not right and just that the vile, the base, and the degenerate, that is to say, the slave nations of the earth, should be punished pitilessly for their creeping cowardice? Is it not right that they should be, as it were, fried and toasted, should swim in pools of boiling blood, or dance sweltering satanic glees with blistered feet, strained eyeballs on red-hot Saharas of grave and sand? This is why I don't worry too much about Europe if Europe's not going to fight, if Europe's not going to turn around and drive these people back out, especially the non-white ones, then the hell with it. Nature's going to let Europe fall, totally fall. And there's not going to be anything you and I can do about it. I mean, when Merkel from Germany stood up and said, we'll take millions of these people in, she should have been hung. She should have been drawn and quartered. You can see the dumbing down of the German people, the passivity, that they would allow that and tolerate that. The only possible good outcome is if a section of the European people become hard, ruthless, and strike out, taking care of the problem. And I mean taking care of the problem. Oh, that's horrible, you'd say something like that. No, it's horrible that Europe's being destroyed. And anything should be done to protect Mother Europe. In actual operation, nature is cruel and merciless to men. Well, she should be. As to all other beings, let a tribe of human animals live in rational life. Nature will smile upon them and their posterity, but let them attempt to organize an unnatural mode of existence, an equality Elysium, and they will be punished even to the point of extermination. That's exactly what's going on in Europe right now. Nature is going to destroy them unless they do a 180-degree turnabout. Get out of that European Union. That was a bad idea in the beginning. And it's interesting that Hitler wanted to set up a United States of Europe. Well, if you think he was a wonderful guy, maybe it would have been okay for a while, but eventually other people would have taken it over and destroyed Europe. All ethics, politics, and philosophies are pure assumptions, built upon assumptions. They rest on no sure basis. They are but shadowy castles in the air erected by daydreamers or by rogues upon nursery fables. It is time that they were firmly planted upon an enduring foundation. This can never be accomplished until the racial mind, get that, racial mind, has first been thoroughly cleansed and drastically disinfected of its depraved, alien, and demoralized concepts of right and wrong. In no human brain can sufficient space be found for the relentless logic of hard fact until all pre-existent delusions have been finally annihilated. Half measures are of no avail. We must go down to the very roots and tear them out, even to the last fiber. We must be like nature, hard, cruel, relentless. Too long the dead hand has been permitted to sterilize living thought. Too long right and wrong, good and evil have been inverted by false prophets. In the days that are at hand, neither creed nor code must be accepted upon authority, human, superhuman, or divine. Morality and conventionalism are for subordinates. Religions and constitutions and all arbitrary principles, every moral theorem must be deliberately put into question. No moral dogma must be taken for granted, no standard of measurement defied. There's nothing inherently sacred about moral codes, like the wooden idols of long ago. They're all the work of human hands, and what man has made, man can destroy. He who is slow to believe anything and everything is of great understanding, for belief in one false principle is the beginning of all unwisdom. The chief duty of every new age is to appraise new men to determine its liberties, to lead it towards material success, to rend, as it were, the rusty padlocks and chains of dead custom that always prevent healthy expansion. Theories and ideals and constitutions that may have meant life and hope and freedom for our ancestors may now mean destruction, slavery, and dishonor to us. As environments change, no human ideals stand as sure. That's like the Constitution. Constitutions like the Maginot Line has been turned around as used against the white race ever since the Civil War. The Constitution has become the enemy. And your enemies use it all the time for racial equality and all that kind of nonsense. Wherever, therefore, a lie has built itself a throne, let it be assailed without pity and without regret, for under the domination of a falsehood, no nation can permanently prosper. Well, equality is a good example. You can't prosper if you live under the falsehood of equality. Let established sophism be dethroned, rooted out, burnt, and destroyed, for they are a standing menace to all true nobility of thought and action. Whatever alleged truth is proven by results to be but empty fiction. Let it be unceremoniously flung into the outer darkness among the dead gods, dead empires, dead philosophies, and other useless lumber and wreckage. The most dangerous of all enthroned lies is the holy and the sanctified, the privileged lie, the lie that everybody believes to be a model truth. It is the fruitful mother of all other popular errors and delusions. It is a hydra-headed. It has 1,000 roots. It is a social cancer. The lie that is known to be a lie is half eradicated. But the lie that's even intelligent persons regard as sacred fact, the lie that has been inculcated around a mother's knee is more dangerous to contend against than a creeping pestilence. Popular lies have ever been the most potent enemies of personal liberty. There is only one way to deal with them. Cut them out to the very core, just as cancers are. Exterminate them root and branch, or they will surely eat us all up. We must annihilate them, or they will annihilate us. The half remedies are of no avail. However, when a lie has gone too far, when it has taken up its abode in the very tissues and bones and brains of a people, then all remedies are useless. And that's the way it is with Christianity in the United States or in the West. Even the lancet is of no avail. Repentance of past misdeeds cannot save decadence from extermination. The fatal bolt is shot, and into the fiery furnace of wholesale slavery and oblivion they must go, to be there righteously consumed. From their ashes something new, something nobler may possibly evolve, but even that is the merest optimistic supposition. In nature, the wages of sin is always death. Nature does not love the wrongdoer, but endeavors in every possible way to destroy him or her. Her curse is on the brow of the meek and lowly. Her blessing is on the very heart's blood of the strong and the brave. Only Jews and Christ and other degenerates think that rejuvenation can ever come through law and prayer. All the tears of all the martyrs might just as well have never shed. Whatsoever a people believeth shall make it free, enslave it, or corrode its very marrow in strict accordance with the natural order. Consequently, if a people place implicit faith in what philosophers teach them, they're liable to be duped. Boy, they sure are. If many nations are so duped, their deception is a menace to the liberty of the world. Freemen should never regulate their conduct by suggestions of dictate of others. For when they do so, they are no longer free. No man ought to obey any contract, written or implied, except he himself has given his personal and formal adherence thereto, when in a state of mental maturity and unrestrained liberty. It is only slaves that are born into contract, signed and sealed by their progenitors. The freeman is born free, lives free, dies free. He is, even though living in an artificial civilization, above all laws, all constitutions, all theories of right and wrong. He supports and defends them, of course, as long as they suit his end. But if they don't, then he annihilates them by the easiest and most direct method. There is no obligation upon any man to passive obedience when his life, his liberty, and his property are threatened by footpad, assassin, or statesman. One of Columbus's lieutenants in the West Indies captured a Carib chief by means of a subtle stratagem. The chief was invited to feast, and when there, persuaded with honeyed words to don on horseback a set of brightly polished steel manacles, it being cunningly represented to him that the irons were the regalia of sovereignty. Like they're saying, put on my handcuffs there. If a cop tells you, put on my handcuffs. It's a representative symbol of nobility. He foolishly believed his astute flatterer, and when the chains were firmly clasped around his limbs, he was led away to die of vermin, turning a mill in a Spanish dungeon. What those glittering manacles were to an Indian chieftain, constitution, laws, and moral codes in the Hebrew-dominated civilizations are to the nations of the earth. Indeed, under the name of progress and social evolution, mankind has been lured into fetid dungeons where it labors unceasingly for naught, in darkness, despair, and shame. Like the Spanish lieutenant, the masters of the earth first flattered their dupes in order to more easily enchain them. Well, that's why they sent the Christian priests into all the countries of the third world. First, they get them into religion, and then they steal everything they've got. Who talks nowadays of the sovereign people without a laugh of derision? And yet it was once thought to be a term of significance. Their sovereignty is now acknowledged sham, and their freedom a dream. The sovereign people be, it is clear, therefore, that man or nation that would retain liberty or be really safe must accept no formula as final, must trust in nothing written or unwritten, living or dead, must believe in neither in special Jehovah's or weeping saviors, neither in raging devils nor in devilish philosophies, neither in ghosts nor in rabbis, nor I got a rabbi on the brain, nor in idols. Oh, threats of hell and hopes of paradise, one thing at least is certain. This life flies. One thing is certain, and all the rest is lies. The flower that once has bloomed forever dies. He who has said to himself, I must believe, I must question, I must not question, is not a man but a mere pusillanimous mental gelding. He who believes, quote, because it has been handed down, unquote, is a menial in his heart. And he who believes, because it has been written, is a fool in his folly. Sagacious spirits doubt all things and hold fast only to that which is demonstrably true. The rule of life are not to be found in the Korans, the Bibles, the Decalogues, and the Constitutions, but rather the rules of decadence and death. The law of laws is not written in Hebrew consonants or upon tables of brass and stone, but in every man's own heart. He who obeys any standard of right and wrong, but the one set up by his own conscience, betrays himself into the hands of his enemy, who are ever laying in wait to bind him in to their millstones. And generally, a man's most dangerous enemies are his neighbors. Like the guy said in the movie about the American Revolution, why should I go fight King George? Most of my enemies are right here within a few miles of my house. And take that for when I put this sign up out front. One bastard who incidentally did run a jewelry store and gold and silver place complained. Masterful men laugh with contempt at spiritual thunders and have no occasion to dread the decisions of any human tribunal. They are above and beyond all that. Laws and regulations are only for conquered vassals. Free men do not require them. He may manufacture and post up Decalogue regulations to bind and control decadents or dependents with, but he does not himself bow down before those inventions of his own hands, except as a lure. Statute books and golden rules were made to fetter slaves and fools. Very useful are they for controlling the herds of sentenced convicts who fill the factories and cultivate the fields. All moral principles, therefore, are the servitors, not the masters of the strong. Power made moral codes and power abrogates them. A man is under no obligation to obey anything or anybody. It is only serving men must obey because they are catless at birth, breeding, and condition as slaves. Morals are only required in an immoral community, that is to say, the community held in a state of conquest. Well, I think that's about it for today, boys and girls. I find myself every month or so drifting away from the truths of this book. And then I find myself, I got to get back to it because I'm becoming soft. And I'm beginning to believe in a lot of the shit that goes around. Even the best shit is bad shit. So I have to read this for myself. And if you like it, fine. Because I get into this sort of a liberal vein sometimes of feeling sorry for people and wanting to help individual people out and like that. And it seems like a good deal, but most of the people are not worth it. You got to understand that. Most of the people don't take good advice. I've given out advice to, you know, hundreds of people over the years, and lots of them are in prison because they didn't listen to my advice. So you got to walk away from most people. You can be friendly with people, but not believe a damn word they say. And if you try to get people to read this book, they'll go crazy. They'll want to run you out of town because they're slaves, and they'll always be slaves. To slaves to Christianity, to Judaism, to Islam, or whatever it may be. So anyhow, that's it for today. I'll be back tomorrow's... Wait a minute. Today's Friday. How about that? I get a little time off here, so I'll be back on Moonsday. On Moonsday. Remember, this is Ladies' Day. She-Wolf Day in the bunker. Almost forgot that. But just... learn to live by some of these things I read to you today, and things will go a lot better for you.
Catch me driving too fast on a blacktop road. Loaded up, hammer back, I'll smack you with my tire.